Attention anyone looking for hand sanitizer. Sanitizing your hands and surfaces is one of the best ways to fight COVID-19. The FDA recently published new guidelines for the production of hand sanitizer during this public health emergency. Most commonly used hand sanitizers are not compliant. Here's the good news. You can now get the hand sanitizer you're looking for that meets FDA guidelines to fight COVID-19. Introducing Halo CV, one of the first hand sanitizers available in the U.S. that's formulated specifically for COVID-19 and meets both FDA and CDC guidelines. Get yours now at HaloCV.com. That's HaloCV.com. Halo CV can be used on all surfaces, such as countertops, doorknobs, and shopping carts, in addition to your hands. Made in the USA, Halo CV is formulated specifically for COVID-19. Be safe, stay home, and sanitize your hands and surfaces with Halo CV. Go to HaloCV.com, and we'll rush your order to you today. That's HaloCV.com. HaloCV.com. Go to HaloCV.com.
And we are live on Discovery Paranormal. It is May 19th, 2020. And tonight, we're going to talk about something that is electrifying, man. We're going to talk about Nikola Tesla and his vision for free power for everybody, what he was going to do around the world, and the fact that it all came from his fascination and or obsession with the Great Pyramids in Egypt. So this is going to go in a lot of different directions, man. It's a paranormal direction, scientific direction. Everything is going to link up. And then by the end of the show, you're going to have a better understanding of a vision. I mean, you might have seen some stuff on Nikola Tesla. You might have seen some stuff on pyramids. I mean, you know, you could watch Ancient Aliens. They have a focus on these pyramids, rightfully so, because so much is unknown. And, you know, it's good to hypothesize, and it's good to question where something came from, you know. So anyway, Nikola Tesla based all of his technology on these pyramids, you know, and this is a guy that existed, you know, a long, long, long time ago, man, was doing stuff 100 years ago that probably a lot of people can't do now. So he had a lot of unusual obsessions, which is someone of that level. The brain goes in so many different directions. But one of his beliefs was that the Great Pyramids of Egypt were giant transmitters of energy. And he built his Tesla towers, and according to the laws inspired by studying the pyramids. Let it be known that the capstones are missing to these pyramids, and they were made of gold, right? Egypt, the country Egypt, will not allow anyone to put capstones on those pyramids because they're afraid of what it could do. And people have gone to the top of those pyramids with all kinds of instruments, and they've gotten a lot of interesting readings, a lot of electromagnetic radiation readings, stuff like that. So this all, you got to put it in time and place, time and place, time and place. Think about that. So Nikola Tesla died unappreciated, really, you know, for think about the things that this guy invented. If, you know, Wi-Fi, AC electrical supply systems, you know, everything and anything, everything we have. Now we have the ability to have these computers and smartphones and all that. This technology came from mostly from his vision, you know, and you have to respect someone who was on that level, especially their interests in the world. All right. So besides ideas that Tesla implemented and patented, he also had many other interests in different fields of research. Some pretty esoteric. One of the most unusual, if you want to call it unusual, was his preoccupation with Egyptian pyramids. But is that unusual? I mean, all right, so you have these pyramids. You know, they were buried when they found them, right? They don't know how old they are. People can guess it was this and that and the other thing, but they really don't know. And unless you know, you don't know. But it's a mysterious thing on the face of the planet. There's a lot of unknown. Even though they've dug, they've retrieved things and whatever, they still don't know. They, the scientists who are supposed to know, don't know. So Tesla believed that these pyramids served a higher purpose, and it was he was investigating them throughout his life. So what he found so alluring about the pyramids, he wondered if they weren't these transmitters, right? That they could transmit energy to other stations, like a wireless transmitter, a wireless generator, right? So this is what kind of gave him the vision about wireless energy. So in 1905, Tesla filed a patent in the U.S. titled The Art of Transmitting Electrical Energy Through the Natural Medium. Imagine 1905. Nothing was going on in 1905. People were doing nothing in 1905. 1905, right? And this guy's like thinking about electricity transmitting energy through the air. So yeah, that's why, one of the reasons why I love Nikola Tesla. So anyway, this was outlining his designs of a series of generators around the world which could tap the ionosphere for energy collection. He saw the planet Earth itself with its two poles as a giant electrical generator of limitless energy. His triangle-shaped design became known as Tesla's electromagnetic pyramid. So Tesla said, "The day science begins to study non-physical phenomena, it will make more progress in one decade than in all of the previous centuries of its existence." This guy knew, and he had time to know. He had time to focus on these things. He spent his time well, right? So it wasn't just the shape of the Egyptian pyramids, but their location that created their power, according to Tesla. He built a tower facility known as the Tesla Experimental Station in Colorado Springs and Wardenclyffe Tower, or the Tesla Tower on the East Coast, that sought to take advantage of the Earth's energy field. So the locations were chosen according to the laws of where the pyramids of Giza were built, related in their relationship to elliptical orbit of the planet and the equator. So basically, the design was intended for wireless transmission of energy. This guy planned this. He didn't just think, oh, I'm going to do this today. And he planned it. Think about it. He wasn't someone who wasted his time. So it was a vision that he had. And I'll tell you this. A new dude on Long Island who used to come into my father's gas station, really old guy. And he was Tesla's friend, he said, you know. Oh, I mean, I can't confirm it, but he would talk about him all the time when he'd come in and hang out there, right? And he had told me about this Tesla array that was on Long Island, out on Long Island. And then he was pitching it to the military, saying that, you know, he could create a plasma ball of energy that was more powerful than a nuclear bomb, right? And then, so they said, okay, demonstrate it. He sent a plasma wave from there to the North Pole, and there was some admiral up there kind of waiting to see what happened. The admiral up there said the explosion was so big, it was the biggest explosion he'd ever seen, something that big and that powerful with no radiation. So, and then all of a sudden, after Tesla dies and they raid his files, they start building these plasmoid weapons, right? And then, you know, back in the 90s, early 90s, plasmoid weapons were gaining a popularity. People in Australia seeing giant fireballs going across the country. Whoosh, right? They don't know what the hell that is. But most likely testing plasmoid weapons, you know, and then you didn't hear anything else ever about it again. I bet they just kind of, you know, left it behind and didn't do anything with it, right? That's what the government does. You know, just boom, gone. You don't hear about it for, you know, 30 years or something. So anyway, Tesla was a genius beyond geniuses. And someone like that had his knowledge, man. Listen to this stuff about him. And you guys think, especially this audience, because you know. All right, another aspect of Tesla's thinking reportedly was related to numerology. Tesla was, by many accounts, an unusual individual. See, I take offense to that because I think that he's not unusual. I think I can hang out with a dude like that very easily, man. And you know what? And have a laugh. You know what? People, they're judgmental. No judge. So one such obsession of Tesla, he had obsessions like, you know, were the numbers 3, 6, and 9. So now this, to a lot of people who are in the know, a lot of psychics, a lot of mediums, these numbers are very significant for a lot of reasons, you know, 3, 6, 9. But, all right, 3, 6, 9, which Tesla believed were the key to the universe. He would drive around buildings 3 times before going in or stay in hotels with numbers divisible by 3. Does that include like Super 8, man? Like if you take the 3 and kind of fold it over and it makes an 8, you know, does that get you in the door, Tesla? So he made other choices. Is that quirky? Yeah. Is that a little weird? Yeah. I just told you the story, the last show, whatever the hell show it was, that sometimes I'm driving down the road, I pull over and I stop for no reason. Let's just do it for a minute or two or whatever, just to do it, to take myself at a time and a place. Was I supposed to do that? Was that pre-planned in the universe? Or am I truly taking myself out of that flow, right? Because sometimes you're in a crappy flow and you want to get yourself, it's like driving down the road and you've got people in front of you, people behind you, everybody's tailgating each other, but you're the only 5 damn cars on the whole road, you know? But yet you're stressed because you're in the middle of this stupid metal sandwich and then you don't want to be there. So what do? You pull over, you let them go. You let the high stress people go, man. That's beautiful. See? So I'll leave you with that for now. All right. So Tesla made other choices in sets of 3. Some believe Tesla's obsession with these numbers connected to his preference for pyramidal shapes and the belief that there was some fundamental mathematical law and ratios that are part of a universal math language. Simple. 3, 6, 9. Simple, right? You want to get really technical? You want to know the real key to the universe? It's going to be about the 5 colors, the 5 sounds. You know, there's also 5s that kind of run around, aren't there? And just like light, it's limited, which is interesting. If something's limited, that means it's confined. If something's confined, that means that something else is confining it and not letting it out. So think about that. All right. So as we don't know precisely how pyramids were built and why, they are looked at by some as creations that may be either generating energy or be observed, you know, or be serving as deliberately installed messengers or even code from an ancient civilization. Right. It's easy to get into some ancient aliens type of thing if you're thinking in this direction, because there are unanswered questions. And if there's an unanswered questions, you know what? The answer is out there somewhere. There's no such thing as a question with no answer. No such thing. So that's why so many people out there look for ghosts. They look for UFOs. They want to go and do something. Search for something. I see these dudes on the History Channel, these middle-aged guys. They're all digging in a hole, digging a ditch, digging for something. And then for year after year, I'm flipping around channels. And here's this guy again. He's just digging for stuff. I'm like, you know what they get? They don't get anything. They don't find anything. They find a bottle cap and a coin. I could find more than that for being at the beach for 3 seconds. What are they doing? They're having fun. They're digging in the mud. They're doing what little kids do. You ever see little kids out there? Little bucket, little mud in the backyard. They're thinking up, they're going to dig up some kind of freaking treasure. Yeah, that's these dudes. People don't grow up. People stay the same. People get to like 12. You know, mentally, and then they kind of stay there, but they get older is all. Your body ages. It's a shit deal. You know what I mean? It's a crap deal. Some people are more enlightened than others. It doesn't really matter. We're talking about, we did a whole panel discussion last night, a bunch of people, great hosts. I'll tell you something about United Public Radio Network, right? And I'm biased, so that's why I'm saying this, you know. There's a lot of knowledgeable people on there, you know. The paranormal people, a lot of them, they don't get political, right? And you can't talk politics with them. There's no point. But they have knowledge in the paranormal. There's people have traveled the world and, you know, done paranormal investigations. Researchers, these are real researchers. So when you listen to these other shows on the network, you're going to hear that experience. And I like that. I appreciate that because me, I don't mess around. And if someone says something wrong, I'm going to say something because I'm also a researcher, you know. And so I base things on information. I don't base things on what other people say. I base things on evidence and information. So, you know, what other people say, you know, is a very small percentage of what, if you're looking for truth, right? It's hearsay. So, but anyway, we're talking about aliens. You know, and with me, everything on Earth has a purpose to itself, right? If you're an ant, you've got a purpose as an ant. You know what you got to do to be an ant every day. You know what you got to do to be an ant every night. You know where you're going. You know where you're going the next day. You follow the other freaking ants, and they all go do their business. If you're a rat, you know what you got to do every day. You're a rat. You're a big, fat, nasty rat. You know that you got to go there in Congress and vote on stuff. You know, you're a rat. You do it every day. You screw other rats over for that other piece of whatever, of filth and garbage you're going to eat out of a garbage bag. Yeah. Everything's got a purpose, right? So people have a purpose. Everything does. What's an alien's purpose? You know, they've got to talk about grays. Like if you talk about these guys who are like really into it, they know their terminology, you know. So there's all kinds of aliens. Like, you know, there's all kinds of species of animals on the planet. There's no reason to believe that there's any one of anything, right? So if you're gonna talk about aliens, I'm getting off subject for a second, because not really anyway, because Tesla was this guy. I'm not saying he was an alien. But I'm also not saying that he wasn't influenced by aliens, you know, or by something, because there's a lot of episodes where, you know, if you look at people all around through the ages, you know, religious leaders or whatever in the past, anybody that kind of made any kind of headway, they all have a similar story of being visited by something, an angel or whatever, you know what I mean? Some kind of communication was going on. So, and then, for no good reason, and even Einstein, same thing. For no good reason, they came out with all this stuff. Stuff that wasn't there before. Stuff that maybe they weren't even going to stumble upon. Information that was given because it was the right time to give. Anyway, I want to know, if you're an alien and you're listening right now, and I know you are, I want to know, let's see, like one of these little grays, right? What's your deal, man? Like, what do you do every day? Like, when you get up, do you get up? Do you sleep? I have a lot of questions. You know what I'm saying? Like, and why don't you help us? We got a lot of stuff going on. You see what's happening, man. You know, lend a helping hand. You've got three fingers. I don't care. I won't judge you. But, you know, at least give me some spaceship I could use to do something with. I don't know. Something. Give me something. Give me one of those messages, you know? I want to create something, too. I want to be creative. Give me something. No. You know what they do? They go to Eastern Texas and they probe people, which I don't know if that's entirely true, because why would you need to keep doing it? Then again, I was watching my dog. People, every day, the dog sees me. It's going to sniff your crotch every day, several times a day. You think once they give a good sniff and they know who the hell you are, they don't have to do it ever again. Or maybe, you know, have a brush up, you know, recheck. You know what I mean? Freshen up. A month later or something, or even a week later. But no, every time, all day long, all the time. Which leads me to believe that maybe these aliens aren't so smart. Maybe they have smart technology. Imagine a civilization, and here's my hypothesis, man. I'm going to piss you off, aliens. But you probably won't understand, so it won't matter anyway. Imagine having this really super advanced society, you know, so full of themselves. And whatever they do every day, everybody's got some quality of life that they reach for. You know what I mean? Like everybody, everything, something. Sometimes it's basic survival. You look in nature. Yeah, man. Basic survival. I get that. Same thing for people. You struggle from the time that you're born to the time that you die. It's a simple thing. That's part of life, right? Anyway, but all those grays, what's their deal? What's their daily life like? What's their aim? Why are they there? What are they doing? Why do you need to keep probing people? But imagine having that kind of super intelligence, and then, you know, maybe one day something goes genetically wrong with these people, and then, oh, you know, their computer technology had taken off, but they've gotten incredibly stupid over a long amount of time. They could exist millions and millions of years. They don't work. They don't do anything. They're going to sit around. You're going to get shorter, fatter, kind of have that gray skin complex, you know, big, giant eyeballs from watching TV and computers all the time. Do you see? You see? And then here's your super smart technology getting smarter because the technology is building technology at this point. We already have software, writing software. We already have computers building robots. We already have this. And we're just stupid humans. And we already have this stuff, right? So you can see how these things are. I think that these grays are just dumb. And I think they just come down and probe because they're dumb. I think they're just dumb. Maybe that's entertaining to them. I don't know. You know, I also threw the thing out there. Maybe where they're chickens. You know, when people go missing, do you really know where they go? They could be on somebody's barbecue somewhere. Funny. You got to laugh at things. But seriously, I like to think why. And if you think why, you start finding answers, you know, slowly but surely. So where are the pyramids' power plants? You can go online and there's videos that will show you why these things are power plants. And I'm looking at a diagram right now, the two air shafts, the King's Chamber, the Grand Gallery, the Ascending Passageway, Queen's Chamber. It's built like a motor, you know, it's built like something that can burn a gas, right? And they, in one chamber, one shaft, they found these two really large copper rings that are embedded in there side by side for no good reason. No good reason they're there. There's no, it serves no purpose, but if you were to feed electricity through there, or if you're creating electricity and shooting it through there, copper is that kind of metal that you want. Gold too, right? So the most common accepted theory is that the Great Pyramid of Giza was the dynasty, right, for the Egyptian pharaoh of Khufu or Cheopos. So two different versions of the same name. However, there are a disturbing number of features about the Great Pyramid that this theory doesn't account for. So first and most obvious being that the Great Pyramid doesn't contain any of the things a real Egyptian tomb would, such as extravagant artifacts or ornate wall art, sealed entrances, elaborate coffins, or even mummies. Nothing, right? So it would have taken 20 years to build the Great Pyramid using at least 20,000 workers or slaves, whatever you want to call them at that time, working all day, every day, using ramps, ropes, pulleys, conventional, that conventionally hypothesized, of course, because there's a lot of people saying that, you know, since the pyramid itself is exactly pi r squared and so are the bricks, that, you know, you're talking about whoever built it had definitely a reason for that. It didn't happen by accident. So anyway, all this stuff is still just unproven, you know, of like why, what was there. And they, you know, they kind of found it by accident. So anyway, the pyramid contains angled tunnels, right, that lead not only into the pyramid, but deep underground into areas that are yet unexplored, if you can imagine that. What, you know, the tomb, what tomb needs a shaft directed underneath it? Maybe they wanted to get some air down there or something. We also know that centuries ago, there were enormous swivel doors that weighed no less than 20 tons, but miraculously, they were so well engineered that they could be opened by a push of the hand, since no Egyptian tomb has ever been found to be deliberately accessible. What were the pyramids for? See, what? They're asking what? So use your mind. Imagine back then, and, you know, look at the Pyrrhus Reis maps and what they represent. And they showed Egypt as plush and green. People are saying that these pyramids were there then. Imagine you have this basic tropical society, like a rainforest almost, but, you know, you have your palm trees and all that, real plush, real green, the whole place. You got your pyramids and whatever, man. Maybe that was their Wi-Fi. But what are they sending Wi-Fi to? Or if they have electricity, what are they sending electric to, right? So the Great Pyramid of Giza was once covered in white polished limestone, referred to as casing stones. Stones fit together so perfectly, they would have been have given the pyramid a smooth, flawless side. So this would have made the giant structures brightly reflect the sun like a mirror. It also would have made the inside of the structure perfectly insulated, right? So a large earthquake in 1303 shattered many casing stones, and the remainder were removed to use on other structures. Today, all that remains is the inner core of the pyramid. Bet you didn't know that. Maybe you did. The material dolomite was used on the inner surfaces of the pyramid. Dolomite is known to increase electrical conductivity, so directly relative to the amount of pressure on it, high pressure creates more electrical current. So lining the passageways and underground tunnels of the pyramid is granite, which is slightly radioactive. Granite contains high amounts of quartz crystal with metal and is a well-known conductor of piezoelectricity. Piezoelectricity occurs as a result of stress or pressure on the quartz, as demonstrated by the quartz. It's a big machine, right? Think about the materials. They didn't have to use this stuff. They didn't have to do it at all if it had no purpose. Let's just guy and Pharaoh just being a dick, say, build me that pyramid and put some tunnels in there. I need it for later, you know, like for no reason. It wasn't a time and a place where people really did things for no reason. Either that had some kind of religious thing or a greater purpose of serving. But interesting, right? Unanswered questions anyway. So I'm going to cruise ahead. I think that there are so many unanswered questions about that area, and then they're still uncovering things every day, all the time. They just found another Sphinx, and they found a whole another room just buried. They have to explore these things, and Egypt won't let these archaeologists in for the most part. So they're very mysterious in how they're hiding things, and maybe they're hiding things on purpose, and maybe they're just afraid, like putting that top stone on there, you know, the gold, putting up the gold. So imagine being Tesla now, early 1900s. You're studying pyramids because you want to tap the source of their energy, right? And you're a scientist, and this is the one, this guy starts getting messages that he said was from outer space, and in his writings, he wasn't sure if it was bouncing off of something else, and he tried to debunk his own theories. And then he realized that these pulses were at regular intervals, and he had been just understanding that this was some kind of intelligent life that was either trying to communicate with him or get his attention, right? He also knew that the planets out there make all kinds of noise and send all kinds of electromagnetic waves out. So, you know, all right. So the Great Pyramid is located at the exact point which magnifies the electromagnetic forces on the planet, where telluric currents are at their strongest. How do you achieve that, being on the planet as Egyptians, maybe Egyptians, whoever really built it? How do you achieve that without having a higher technology, like the Pyrrhus Reis maps? How do you achieve, you know, he just put those maps together, right? And piecemealed them from other maps that he had access to. But how do you achieve making a map, perfect map of an area, unless you have an aerial capability, unless you're up there, you know, and this is before any known means of being up there, right? So there's an electromagnetic field at the bottom of the pyramid, which would rise to the upper layers with these chemical reactions. So basically, do you think it was for ceremony? Something that gigantic? Yeah, people build big stuff. I'm not going to say they don't. You know what I mean? Look all around the world. People build gigantic stuff, big temples. If they're honoring something, honoring some kind of god, right? So, and it's all about the metals involved and the rock involved. I think that if you stand back and you look at it, you see that the Great Pyramid is probably a form of a Tesla tower constructed, you know, more than 10,000 years or more back before Nikola Tesla built his own tower. But he got his vision from that. Tesla claimed that at 30,000 feet altitude, there is a stratum of rare field air that would conduct electric currents at high voltages. So in this proposed system, there was a transmitter, a Tesla tower, which would transmit millions of volts into the atmosphere. Then he had something, a rod, into the ground with a few special modifications that would receive the energy and reduce the voltage to a potential that could be used by consumers. So basically, you put an antenna on your house, and then here you're drawing down this electricity, boom. He also envisioned using vehicles, all kinds of buses, cars, transportations, all of them being electric and not battery powered, nothing, basically just hooked into this electrical grid, you know? So this dude had vision in 1905. And I'm sure he was thinking of it way before. So now, unfortunately, this is where the bankers come in. Tesla's work was funded by J.P. Morgan, who was an oil and gas tycoon who dominated the electricity industry in the early 1900s. Morgan correctly saw Tesla's tower as a threat to his business. And, you know these rich bitches, man. If you threaten their money, they'll ruin you, you know, maybe even kill you. So, but it would have been basically ruin. And then, you know, you can see where the story goes, since we're still using cars with gasoline, and, you know, and you have like an Elon Musk who's trying to push these batteries or whatever, and blah, 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 blah. So, but we've seen the induction work between copper wires over a short distance for a long distance transfer. The same principle can be applied when acoustic energy is converted into kinetic energy and then frequencies matched, right? So we see this practice when an opera singer shatters glass with their voice. The frequency of the singer's voice matches the resonant frequency of the glass, and the acoustic energy is converted into kinetic energy. Boom! Right? Amazing, huh? Amazing. So if there's a magnetically oscillating current and you create a second possessing the same frequency, the wireless transmission can pass through solid materials and through long distances. So boom, there you go, man. There you go. Tesla just dropped the mic. The frequency which could have been released from the pyramid would have been unmatched in the surrounding area. Perhaps this would explain the obelisks, the tall stones, of course, shaped like the Washington Monument, if you know what an obelisk is. Only some people don't. You know that. I mentioned that the other day to somebody. I like an obelisk. And the girl was like, what? an obelisk. What? An obelisk. What? All right, you know. Okay, yeah. Yeah. People don't know what stuff is. I was buying an artichoke at the store. They knew what artichoke was. And I didn't tell them what it was either because I wanted them to figure it out. It's kind of a game. I had a lot of free time on my hands. You know, it's a pandemic. And then I was like, what is this? Oh, I don't know. I just felt like, I don't know, but I just felt like buying it. I'm going to put it on my shelf. And I'm going to call it Herb. So, yeah, it took them a good 10 minutes to figure out what it was. Anyway, so maybe that's what those tall stones shaped like the Washington Monument, only smaller, were all about, with quartz stones on top of them. The obelisks could have acted as receivers, just like Tesla's specially modified rods. But how would they know that? How would these Egyptians know that? Or whoever it was, how would they know it? So you know how? They all have the same story of these beings coming down from the sky and these fire chariots and giving them all kinds of tools and knowledge. That's how. Explain that. Explain that. People try to do that with the purpose of religion. It doesn't work. You know what I mean? So, like the pyramids themselves, the obelisks were made of granite. And they're, yeah, right, big, huge, heavy, difficult to carve, move, transport. From the quarry. The quarry was 500 miles away, so it wasn't like they, you know, had a truck. They had people that they beat with whips. They just wanted to go back and forth. So it's unlikely that they were created merely for religious or decorative purposes. Then you have historians say that they weren't really slaves. They were paid, and they didn't do all the heavy lifting, that they had special tools that lifted these rocks magically and carried them to their destination and put them in place. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty interesting, if you think about it. So, in all, the Egyptians created 28 obelisks, so it would have been a massive undertaking, right? Think about the amount of time and work into something like that. So, most have fallen, and only 8 remain standing in Egypt today. However, there are also standing Egyptian obelisks in Istanbul, Rome, London, Paris, and New York. It has been suggested these were stolen from Egypt. You know, say someone in New York would steal some. Yo, how dare you? We don't steal nothing in New York, man. We found it there in the morning. You know, woke up, there was an obelisk outside of my apartment. Don't know how it got there. You know what I mean? That's it. They stole it. You gotta be real hardcore to steal an obelisk. I'm gonna go to Egypt. I'm gonna steal this mother. I don't know how I'm gonna get it back to New York, but man, I'm gonna do it. That's just funny. All right. I'm getting control of myself, man. Considering that even the lightest obelisk weighs 110 tons, and they vary considerably in both size and weight, up to a maximum weight of 323 tons. This begs the question of who would go to the trouble of transporting such a really damn heavy object thousands and thousands of miles just to steal a huge block of smeg for decoration? I think that, but I'll tell you about New York City, man. There's a lot of paranormal stuff, and there's a lot of, you know, the architecture of these buildings and how they were made and blah, 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 blah. There's a lot to it. A lot of energy there. A lot to it. Surrounded by water. It's almost like a little satellite dish of energy. But yeah, I could see that. I could see stealing an obelisk, man. If I had the money, I would do something. I would fund something like that. I brought this back from Egypt, man. You know what I mean? That's something you put in your backyard, take people outside a party. And I'm like, oh my God, what the hell is that? It's an obelisk, man, from Egypt. That's right, but much more likely that the Egyptians were in the process of setting up a global power distribution network that was either never completed or completed and then destroyed thousands of years ago. But how did they get here? In those little boats, man? Those people paddling, right? Or people say, hey, Atlantis, there was a big chunk of land, and that's a way, you know, if you can walk. You can, like, pull it or something, you know, with carts, some oxen, camels, whatever the hell you got. Yeah, sure. Theoretically, that might take 100 years, something like that, if you make it through unfettered territory. You know what I mean? Well, God only knows what the hell you run into. So sure. Or someone had some kind of ship, picked it up, dropped it off. You know, pick it up, drop it off. Or they had some kind of other way, and then some kind of portal that they just kind of whoosh, there it goes. Now that has been described by all these different civilizations around the world. People that didn't have any words for even stuff like that at the time. They didn't know what the hell they were talking about, but they described it, didn't they? So obviously they experienced it, you know? Unless they're all tripping at the same time, unlikely. So anyway. Okay. If the ancient Egyptians had electricity, it would explain why so many ancient carvings seem to depict giant light bulbs. It would also, what do they think they were? What are those things? I don't know. They look like bells, balls, light bulbs. It would also explain why there are no soot marks from the flame torches inside the pyramids. They may have had electrical lighting. It's fascinating. So we know that there's a heightened electromagnetic measurement around the pyramids, right? That's equivalent, that you can make an electrical storm. I mean, you know, you're talking about gigawatts of electricity, right? Not the gigawatt. That was mispronounced in Back to the Future. If you're getting your scientific information from movies, you deserve what you get. You know what I mean? So, if the Great Pyramid was a power plant designed to generate and transmit wireless electricity, why don't we know about it? You know, how come they didn't tell us? For the same reason, most people don't know about Tesla's wireless electricity. That's why. It would put a fossil fuel industry out of business. It would put power in people's hands, in regular old people's hands. When they control the power, they control the people. You know, it's like when they shut your electricity off, man, or the power goes out, people start flipping out. Plus, you get some generator. Even that runs on something. So do you ever own your car? No. The oil companies own your car. Unless you have an electric car, then the company that makes those electric parts own your car, because it's never truly yours, because you have to keep paying as you go. It might be yours in essence. If your car hits somebody, they'll certainly sue you. Then it's yours. Then it's 100% yours. But yeah, that's people. You know how it goes. So we're going to forget about the robber barons for now. And I want to kind of shuffle off to Buffalo, man. I think that power is necessity, right? And even people back then knew about that. But if that's the case, and all these other civilizations that kind of existed there around Jesus Christ, stuff like that, why don't they make mention? They do make mention of electrical energy, power, but, you know, a lot of people kind of take that as metaphorical and not really exact speech on, totally descriptive of what was happening at the time. But then if you look in India and you look in their history, you see all kinds of spaceships and all kinds of nuclear bombs going off and weapons and this and that and whatever, missiles and stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of action, man. But why? If you think an advanced civilization would be better than what we already have, right? People always want to think better. But then I look at the chickens. You know what I mean? And I look at the chicken I ate the other night. A little dead chicken laying there. And that chicken gave its life for me by luck of the draw. I just happened to buy them. I didn't select them, but I ate them. You know what I mean? Is that a terrible thing? Because energy, no energy is wasted. So are you saying the chicken was sacrificed for no reason? I don't know. You're getting into a lot of philosophical questions I can't handle right now. Okay, you come on kind of strong. But think of the chickens. Why do we automatically think that somebody who's technologically superior is better. Are we better than the Dolphins? I don't think so. I think that we're different, but the Dolphins have a different plan. Do you see Dolphins screwing each other over? No. So I would say that the Dolphins are better than we are. Probably a lot smarter. You know what I mean? I'll give a shout out to those Dolphins, right? So now, talk about experiments, because we're running out of time. When I was young, I stole a Playboy magazine from my father's gas station. Yoink! Mine. That was a big score when you were like 10 or 11. And you tell your friends, I got Playboy. And they're like, whoa, man. Whoa. We'll get together, open that sucker up, read the articles. That's right. You know? I did read the articles, some of them. And one of the articles was about Egyptian pyramids and how pyramid shapes assist things in growing. Of course, the article had to do with a woman's breasts and a bra that was shaped like a pyramid. And then she swore to God that it made her breasts bigger. I'm not saying that they don't. I'm saying that might be something that you guys out there might want to explore as researchers. I don't know. I'm just going to put it out there for you. I'm saying that plants, you know, if you have a greenhouse shaped like a pyramid or basically any kind of object, there is a heightened electricity with that and plants grow better. So try growing those small plants and you know what? You can build basically the shape out of anything, plexiglass or whatever, you know. So I think that number one, this is where you start, right? Because we're running out of time. Research questions and your hypothesis, okay? According to literature about pyramids, they influence all kinds of stuff from razor blades to petrol, food, whatever, right? For this project, you say, does a pyramid influence the growth of plants? You write that down. You know, you want to make this scientific, right? You want to record what happens, you know, and then do it side by side. Take one plant, put it in one thing, or, you know, if you have the same kind of materials, make a cube for one plant and make the whatever, you know, whatever. I know you're not going to do it. I'm just talking. I'm not going to do it either. So I've already done this stuff in my life. So it's for you guys. It's for you. So you want to be able to choose your materials wisely. And hey, man, it's not such a bad thing to use copper and stuff like that, because that's something that is going to draw together more electric. Okay. I like using glass, but you can use plexiglass too if you're going to make that pyramid shape. But you can do all kinds of things and put it under these pyramids. People have put food under there and they like it improve the taste of the food by the next day. And, you know, or like, you know, basically, I don't know, you can look it up, all kinds of stuff. So you want to have all kinds of seeds, you know, maybe bottles of water. And, you know, you want to have like a couple cartons of orange juice maybe and plastic cups. You want to do all kinds of like tests. And since I'm running out of time, you can easily go online and look at these different things that people have tried. And, you know, it's really interesting. Go on YouTube and check it out, because it's proven research. These are, you know, experiments that people have done all over the world with pyramid shapes for all kinds of things, for all kinds of reasons. Farmers have built them for their horses, their animals, you know, and kept their animals in there instead of a you know, traditional barn shape. They're these pyramid shapes, and the animals were healthier. They're better. They're bigger. They're whatever, you know. So it's not just what you would think when it comes to maybe a little increase in plants. And, you know, I understand it's an explosion of growth when it comes to plants. So I'm going to leave that where it is. But do this for me. Make a tent for yourself, right? A pyramid tent and sleep in it. People do that also. They say they sleep the best ever of their lives in that kind of shape. Think about that shape, even that cone type of shape, you know, like an Indian teepee type of thing. You know, if you look into nature and you look into humans and what we've developed, there's a lot to that. I think that it's important to learn from the past but then take that information and go forward and not, you know, close your mind to it. Anyway, hope you enjoyed the discussion, man. Check out Nikola Tesla. Go online. Check him out. All kinds of cool vids on Tesla. He was a real interesting gentleman. I'll leave it at that. This is Michael Angley and Discovery Paranormal. I will see you guys next week on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, 104.7 Pastor Chat, saying adios.